Today's reading comes from the 20th chapter of Luke, beginning with the 27th verse. Some of the Sadducees came up. This is the Jewish party that denies any possibility of resurrection. And so they asked Jesus, "Teacher, Moses wrote us that if a man dies and leaves a wife but no child, his brother is obligated to take the widow to be the wife to get her with child. Well, there were once seven brothers. The first took a wife. He died childless. The second married her and died. And then a third, and eventually all seven had their turn, but no child. After all that, the wife died. Now the wife, in the resurrection, whose wife is she, since she was married to all seven?" Jesus said, now listen to this closely. We seem to have forgotten this. Jesus said, "Marriage is a major preoccupation here, but not there. Those who are included in the resurrection of the dead will no longer be concerned with marriage, nor, of course, with death. They will have better things to think about, if you can believe it. All the ecstasies and intimacies then will be with God. Even Moses exclaimed about resurrection at the burning bush, saying, 'God, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, God isn't the God of dead men, but the living. To God, all are alive.'" And some of the religious scholars said, "Teacher, that's a great answer." And for a while, anyway, nobody questioned him. Now, I know that some, as you listen to that story, go, why are we doing this? I mean, this, and seriously, it is kind of a weird story, right? I mean, it's one of those stories in Scripture that you sit there and you think about and go, well, okay, it doesn't make any sense for today. Actually, when you start pulling back, like you do on an onion, you start peeling stuff away, it does. First of all, let me tell you who the Sadducees are. How many know who the Sadducees are?
The religious scholars.
Okay, they were the scholars. Actually, if you want to understand who the Sadducees are in Jesus' time, if you want to say, okay, who in today's world can I see these people as? Who is representative? In today's world, they are the very conservative Christian base. Not Pentecostal. They weren't dancing out in the aisles or any of that kind of stuff. But they took their beliefs and their positions very, very literally. And on top of that, they only believed in the Torah, which means that they only followed the first five books of the Bible. Okay? That's it. They considered the Psalms and the books of the prophecy, which the Pharisees also included as part of their scripture, they considered that heresy, which is the reason that there was this really big ideological split between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And that is because in the first five books of what we know as the Old Testament, there's no talk about resurrection. When you die, you die. If you've lived a good life, you know, that's what it was all about. So that was a huge divide, because as you get further along into Scripture, then we start seeing that whole idea about life after death, that there's something more to this world than just living, that when you breathe your last, it doesn't stop. There's someplace else that you're going. The second thing that we need to know about them is the exact same kind of fight that we are seeing in religion and Christianity today and between religions was going on between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees had taken over power within the structure of Judaism. They were now the ruling class. They were the popular group. They were the ones that were making all the decisions for all those folks who would call themselves Jews. And the Sadducees no longer had much to say about that, because in the populace belief, the Sadducees were not even considered to be Jews. Do you understand how incredible that is? I mean, think about it. In the world that we live in, there are people out there who call themselves Christians, right? Right, and they recognize me as a pastor, and they recognize me as a Christian, right up until they find out what?
You're gay.
Until they find out that my husband is who I'm married to. And they look at you and go, well, you can't be Christian. Or, you know, between Christian and Christian, you're a Christian right up until the point that you say that you are a pro-choicer. Oh, my God! How could you possibly be a Christian? And, of course, all those folks on the very conservative side of Christianity, when they get in front of a news camera, they talk about this is what Christians believe. And, you know, and of course, I'm always sitting there at the TV going, hello, I'm a Christian, don't I count? And the answer to that question is, no, I don't.
To them.
It is the same thing that was going on with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The exact same fight. There's an old saying, you know, same old, just a different consistency. Now, the second part that we want to pay, or the third part that we really want to pay attention to is that now you'll understand, you know, when we get to Easter, and how, you know, we always talk about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, there's this dynamic split, okay? They're at each other's throat, but what united them?
Jesus.
Killing Jesus. He's ruining for us all. He's turning everything upside down. The Pharisees had their laws that he was apparently not following, and of course the Sadducees were really unhappy with him and spent a lot of time getting into arguments with him, because Jesus, quite honestly, had moved beyond the Torah. Jesus was doing these miracles and opening up the landscape as far as who belonged to God and who could have a relationship with God. And so now here they come along and they go, hey, Jesus, let's talk about marriage. And I got to tell you, sometime after I'm done preaching this, ask me for the story about Onan in the Old Testament, okay? Because the story of Onan, and I'll just whet your appetite a little bit with this, is at the end of that story, Onan is killed by God. And the statement is, it is better to put the seed in the belly of a whore than to let it fall upon the ground. Okay? And like I said, after church asked me about that story. But the bottom line is, it follows with what the Sadducees said here. If they didn't understand our birthing whole thing, they didn't understand that the woman had an important part in child rearing and making that baby. She was nothing more, as far as they were concerned, other than an incubator. The seed got planted and it grew. So if a brother didn't plant seed that grew and died, then the next brother that was single was obligated, according to the Torah and Levitical law, to take that woman on. So now the Sadducees think they got Jesus, because obviously we've got a problem, don't we? We've got a woman who's got seven husbands. And now she's dead. When she raises again, who is the husband? Now you think about it, from the conservative side, we hear those kind of arguments today, don't we? Well, Jesus didn't say anything about homosexuality. Yeah, but in the Old Testament, it says, right? We hear that same argument, same question. It seems like anytime anybody wants to nail somebody, instead of living in the now, they back up 30 years ago. Isn't that what we're doing now? with our politics? Oh my God, we're trying to take 50 steps back instead of continuing forward. But that's, you know, that's another sermon. The point here is, what about marriage? And what was Jesus' response? The first thing was to say what I want to say to you all today is we need to stop majoring in minors. What we are worried about here is of no concern when we get wherever we're going. The stuff that we're fighting about today, the theological stuff that nobody has the answer to because it hasn't been revealed to us, and nobody has come back from the dead to tell us what's going on the other side. And in fact, I find it very interesting that because the Sadducees did not believe in resurrection, the Pharisees had guts enough to say, okay, you're not a good Jew. By the way, if you marry in a mixed marriage, you're not a good Jew. If you have a broken arm, you're not a good Jew. If you have a blemish, you're not a good Jew. Do we not hear that today? And Jesus' response to that was, you know what? You people are too preoccupied with nothing. Think about that. You're preoccupied. What is it that really pushes you? What pushes your buttons when it comes to thinking about your faith and religion? Everybody's worried about getting to heaven. There's people out there going, well, by God, you know, I want to get to the streets of gold. Heaven is going to be this. And what is it? It is just 100% better than they think the world is that they're living in, and they don't take in any of this spiritual that Jesus just said, look, folks, the physical don't count when you get there. There is no marriage when you get there. By the way, I got a news flash for you. Money probably doesn't mean a hell of a lot either. And by the way, for those of you who think that you're going to be up in heaven and finally away from all of your enemies and all those people that you figured out that you didn't have to forgive, guess what? They're going to be sitting right next to you. Amen. God has a really big heart that we haven't fully wrapped our head around. So the answer and why this story is important is quit majoring in minors. The Sadducees thought they had him trapped because of some bureaucratical, biblical craziness. Well, they didn't. Y'all remember who Yogi Bear is?
Yogi Bear? Yeah. He had a little friend named Boo Boo. They stole picnic Yogi baskets.
I smell a picnic basket.
That was Yogi Bear.
Oh, sorry.
Not Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra.
Deja vu all over again.
Yes, was a catcher for the New York Yankees, and he was we now today call him Yogiisms, but he had a way of making a point that when he made the point, you just kind of sat there and went, huh? Well, here's what he said in 1960. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And that's exactly what this story's about, is keeping the main thing the main thing. It's not about marriage. It's not about your wealth. It's not about the relationship that you have with anybody else. It's about the relationship that you have with God. And do you nurture that relationship? And do you have that relationship grow? Did anybody read the Welcome to the New Week yet this week? Amen. The vicar, you know.
Brownie points.
Because I just know that somebody, when I said this, was going to sit there and go, well, okay, if we're going to focus on the main thing, what's the main thing? Well, here it is. And the main thing, if you look into 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. Most of all, love as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. Be quick to give a meal to the hungry, a bed to the homeless, cheerfully even. Be generous with the different things that God gave you, passing them around so that all get in on it. If words, let it be God's words. If help, let it be God's hearty help. That way, God's bright presence will be evident in everything through Jesus, and he'll get all the credit as the one mighty in everything, encores to the end of time. Oh, yes, brothers and sisters, let the main thing to be kept on the main thing so that we focus on the main thing. God bless you.